You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio, coming to you live from the Connors and Sullivan Broadcast Studio.
You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio, breaking news as it happens, what it means, and why it matters.
Fusion.
Amplifying truth.
And pursuing clarity.
Kevin McCullough, now.
Got a lot to get to in the moments ahead. Kelsey Bowler will be with us from the Independent Women's Forum. We're going to talk about some of the unreported wokeisms in the airline business. Also, Michael Goodwin from The Post breaks down the state of New York's future. But first, Scott Walker and what's going on across the country.
Kevin McCullough.
Something interesting is happening with this.
Kevin McCullough, let me start with you.
I found this thing at townhall.com by Kevin McCullough.
The big dog
has come out of nowhere.
Kevin McCullough.
I just want to help people think.
Nationally syndicated radio host and author of No, He Can't.
He is playing the role
as well as anybody could.
Kevin McCullough is a nationally syndicated radio host and author of No, He Can't.
The odds are he's right.
It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
All right, Kevin McCullough, glad to have you with us. We were going to hear from the president. He had something to say about guns today, although it is hard to pay attention when President Biden is speaking because there really is such confusion over even if he knows where he is on any given day and time. And today, his big boogeyman that he's trying to put down are ghost guns. This is going to stop all the violence that we see, which, by the way, continues to decline. It's going to really teach criminals a lesson because we know that criminals always play by the rules. And of course, it's not going to be an abuse of executive power to just make these changes across the country and not have to deal with things like, you know, federalism and states' rights and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, welcome to Kevin McCullough Radio. Glad to have you with us. My first guest is someone that has not been with us, I think, since the primary season back in 2016 and his run for the White House, which he did not get there, but he did have some very good years and very good experience as the top executive in the state of Wisconsin, in many ways, really overseeing a revival in that state in many respects. Governor Scott Walker, who is now the new president of the Young Americas Foundation, one of my favorite organizations. Governor, it's good to have you back. Thank you for being here.
Oh, thanks for having me on. Good to be back with you.
Let's talk a little bit about you've just made some recent comments about how to take the game to the other team, so to speak. You're calling it the long game. I want to get into that in a moment, but I want to ping you with some current news stuff. We're seeing a lot of dispute over the stuff in Georgia, the voting reforms that they've initiated. Your home state actually has done some things to strengthen their voting integrity as well. And maybe it's because Georgia has been such a heat shield for everything else. They're not really talking nearly as much about it. But where do you stand, you know, here in April following this election with the issue of voter integrity? And what do you anticipate and what are your hopes for what is being accomplished in state legislatures across the country right now?
Well, I hope every state lawmaker looks at ways to improve the integrity of the election process so that whatever election it is, president, governor, U.S. Senate, all the way down to the local government levels, that people can have legitimacy. You don't have that if there's questions about the outcome of the election. In Wisconsin's case, we have photo ID, I know, because I signed that into law. We require that. And ironically, Wisconsin has early voting times that are less generous than what the new law that just passed in Georgia is. The reason I say that's ironic is because the DNC, the Democrats, chose to have their national convention in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, although obviously it was somewhat abbreviated by COVID, but they chose Milwaukee, Wisconsin last year, knowing full well that's our law. So apparently that wasn't a big deal when they wanted the votes of a battleground state. But now when they want to pick on Republicans in the legislature and Republican Governor Brian Kemp, it is that way. Well, it just shows you in the woke America, if you lie enough, it doesn't matter what the facts are. As long as the feelings are on your side, they're going to be okay. That cannot happen in America. We've got to
Governor,
matter more than feelings.
That's exactly right. And there were a lot of people that were very surprised that Wisconsin and Michigan and Pennsylvania and Arizona and Georgia, Virginia, Nevada had relaxed some of those standards. You said you have voter ID in Wisconsin, but wasn't that waived for mail-in ballots this go around and under, you know, special COVID executive orders, so to speak?
No, actually, in some of the states, they did that. For example, in Georgia, Georgia did a special order. Wisconsin still requires it even with an absentee ballot. The big problem in Wisconsin with the absentee ballots was a couple other provisions. For example, in my state, you have to ask for a absentee ballot in writing, yet clerks in the two largest counties went out and handed them out at public events at parks, clearly in violation of the law. And secondly, you have to sign your name, print your name, and print your address on. The voter has to do that along with a witness who has to sign their name and print their name. In thousands of the ballots, they didn't follow through on that, and the voter didn't write okay. The address in, for example. So those were all violations. The law is already there. The big thing in Wisconsin, it varies by state, is the legislature needs to tighten up the consequences for people who violate the law, which in this case wasn't the voter. It was the elections officials who ran aside from what the statutes actually say. So some states, it's the law itself that needs to be updated. Other states like Wisconsin, there need to be actual enforcements to make sure that people do what the law itself says.
Yeah, obviously, if you don't enforce what's already on the books, it's not going to much matter. What is your hope, Governor? Do you anticipate that we are going to have a cleaner election in 2022 and 2024?
Well, I hope so. I mean, the best news out of November that was largely under or non-reported was that every state that had a conservative majority, every state that had Republicans in charge of the state legislature kept those majorities despite all the talk of a blue wave. And three more legislative bodies were added, plus one more governor was added. So it was a net win across the board for Republicans at the state level. Why that matters is twofold. One, overall, I still think action is most important as our founders intended at the state level. But with that, in particular, with election law reform, even with the problems in Washington, which is exactly why the first bill out of the gate for the new majority was H.R. 1, I call it the Crooked Politician Act. But at least the states can make those determinations now until that, hopefully that law never happens. And secondly, redistricting in most states, not every state, most states, is done by the state legislature. So just fair maps will make it much more likely that House Republicans have a shot at regaining the majority.
All right. Well, that's interesting that you were willing to go in depth on all that for me, Governor, because you're talking a lot about the long game with your work with Young America's Foundation. And when I really did the assessment of what happened in 2020, it was a long game by the Democrats that allowed a lot of these crooked opportunities to have questionable ballots be counted and other things that got into place. We are not as good on the right of center side of things at thinking long term. And I think there's reasons for that. I think we're busy raising our families. We're busy paying our taxes, going to work, trying to do the stuff. We're not sitting there always trying to think about how we can, you know, be advocates for winning the next election. We need to be more engaged. But what do you mean when you use the term the long game?
Well, it ties into that, but it's even more fundamental in the sense that I'm not saying we shouldn't be involved in the battles of the day, but the left, when you think of culture, when you think of what happens on our campuses and now what's happening in the broader culture, even in communications with the censorship we see from big tech, all this didn't happen overnight. I mean, the left has been at this since at least the 60s with Saul Alinsky. They've had a long-term plan. Yeah, they had bias when I was late 80s. I was heading off to college and certainly could see left-wing professors there, but you could still talk about ideas. You still didn't feel threatened. By the 90s and on, you started to have political correctness. By the time my kids went to college 7-8 years ago, you could already see the shift in the last few years. It's just outright cancel culture. You can't even bring up conservative ideas for fear of not only flunking out, but of fellow students attacking you and activists on campuses. And so the long game to me is a systematic way of not just taking back our campuses, but going into high school, going into junior high, where need be, even matching what the left is trying to do in terms of indoctrination, even as early as elementary school, giving our parents and students the tools to counter things like the 1619 Project, where they're teaching kids to hate America.
Yeah. No, it's true. They're dripping all kinds of stuff into there, younger and younger. Governor Scott Walker, congratulations on your new presidency at the Young Americas Foundation. I know that you'll lead that organization well, and it is an organization we desperately need to continue to challenge the minds of young people and making a presence be felt in our colleges and high schools today. Scott Walker, thank you so much.
Thanks. Good to be with you. If folks want any more info, yaf.org/longgame. We'll send them a copy.
All right. YAF.org. Kevin McCullough coming right back. Hi, Kevin McCullough. If you could save money on your mortgage payment and put more money into your pocket, wouldn't that make sense? Now is the perfect time to call my very good friends, Mike and Brian, at Fellowship Home Loans. Home values are up. The housing market is strong. Interest rates are low, and they're going to stay low. Talk to Mike and Brian about ways you could possibly eliminate PMI, private mortgage insurance, consolidate debt, take cash out for home improvements, and save on your taxes. As a direct lender, you deal directly with the decision makers who will save you the money and guide you every step of the way. And with outstanding customer service reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, you will be amazed by how well you are treated and how simple they make this very complicated process. Call Mike Rakeman and Brian Sheely at Fellowship Home Loans and lock in your low rate today. 800-804-SAVE. That's 800-804-SAVE. Intercontinental Capital Group, DBA, Fellowship Home Loans, Licensed Mortgage Banker, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 60134.
Do you want to send your child to a Christian school but are overwhelmed by the cost? Then WMCA's discount tuition program may be right for you. The discount tuition program is a way for parents to send their children to a quality Christian school at half the cost of the annual tuition. We've partnered up with some of the leading schools in the New York, New Jersey metro area to help parents to reduce the costs and still have their children receive a quality, faith-based education. Here are just a few of the participating schools. Hawthorne Christian Academy, International Christian School, Kearney Christian Academy. You can see the full list of participating schools at WMCA.com. WMCA is also offering each school the opportunity to promote their school with a full radio advertising campaign. For more information on how you can send your children to a Christian school at half the cost of the annual tuition or how you can get your school enrolled in the program, go to WMCA.com or call Rachel at 212-857-9630. That's 212-857-9630. Listen to The Mission WMCA anywhere you go with the AM570 The Mission mobile app. Download on Google Play, iTunes, or listen to TuneIn, iHeart, Alexa, or radio.com.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. Every single week, we promise you that you're going to get a real-life question answered by Mike Connors of Connors and Sullivan as it pertains to end-of-life planning with your estate or with the elders in your life. And as it happens, he not only answers them here, but on his shows on the weekend as well. And this week's question, Mike, comes from Donna. She says, my parents transferred their house to me years ago in order to avoid probate. Sounds like something you'd recommend. They continued to live in the house, never paid me rent. Was that the best way to handle this, or should it have been handled differently? What if I get a divorce or get into a car accident? Sincerely, Donna May. Mike Connors, what's her situation?
Yeah, the better way to do it is through a trust agreement, and Donna can set up a trust. I'm assuming the parents are still alive, but she can set up a trust for the parents. The problems with the life estate, again, if she gets in a car accident, she passes away, part of that house may go to her husband, whom maybe she's getting a divorce from, so that's not necessarily the best plan. And if she gets sued, they could put a judgment against the house and kick the parents out. So, you know, it does avoid probate. On the facts, you might get ordered, but on the facts, the house should go out tax-free according to law today. You know, wait for the Biden administration to change that, but as of today, it would be tax-free. I would recommend she convert it to the trust if her parents are alive. I would say it was an inheritance if her parents are gone. We got a pretty good shot with the IRS of getting through it because they didn't pay rent and they lived in the house and I assume paid all the bills on the house. So it's not the best way to do it, but it did protect the house from medical bills and it did avoid probate or will avoid probate.
Yeah. Well, maybe you've got a complicated situation like that, just like Donna does. Call Connors and Sullivan and have them examine your situation and give you the best answer possible. 718-238-6500, 718-238-6500. And don't forget to send your questions to askmikeconnors@gmail.com. And then be listening. Kevin McCullough Radio right here at this same time. WMCA Saturday mornings at 8 o'clock. On AM 570 and FM 102.3, and then Sunday mornings at 11 on AM 970, The Answer. Mike Connors, thanks so much.
Thank you, Kevin.
Do you want to send your child to a Christian school but are overwhelmed by the cost? Then WMCA's discount tuition program may be right for you. The discount tuition program is a way for parents to send their children to a quality Christian school at half the cost of the annual tuition. We've partnered up with some of the leading schools in the New York, New Jersey metro area to help parents to reduce the costs and still have their children receive a quality, faith-based education. Here are just a few of the participating schools. Timothy Christian School, Bergen County Christian Academy, Upper Room Christian School, Martin Luther Middle and High School. You can see the full list of participating schools at WMCA.com. WMCA is also offering each school the opportunity to promote their school with a full radio advertising campaign. For more information on how you can send your children to a Christian school at half the cost of the annual tuition or how you can get your school enrolled in the program, go to WMCA.com or call Rachel at 212-857-9630. That's 212-857-9630.
You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio, coming to you live from the Connors and Sullivan Broadcast Studio. Take one modern lady, mixed with classic sensibilities and a keen eye on what's news. Senior policy analyst, Independent Women's Forum, and contributor to The Federalist, Kelsey Bowler, exclusively at Kevin McCullough Radio.
All right, Kevin McCullough, you know, it's a big, busy Thursday, lots of stuff. The president's announcement, we've already talked about that some. We'll talk about it more before we're done. I don't understand why ghost guns are such a boogeyman, but if he thinks it's going to solve the mass shooting problem, then all right, whatever. You know what is interesting is that the mess related to Georgia and what they have done in recent days in terms of reacting to it by them, I mean these corporations and these activist groups and so forth is comical if it wasn't so sad. And someone who wrote about that in today's Bright Email is Kelsey Bowler, the aforementioned Kelsey Bowler. And she points out someone else's fault in all of this, the media. Hey, Kelsey.
Hey, Kevin. Thanks for having me.
So, yeah, I do think the media played a little bit of a role in this, and it's all of their hyperventilating and hardly ever knowing the facts that caused it.
Absolutely. There was a lot of misinformation circulating about this Georgia election law. The media exacerbated any sort of concerns that might have been raised, and they really egged on these woke corporations to come out and issue all these statements about it. Of course, that led to the MLB pulling the All-Star game from Georgia and putting it in Denver, which has a very comparable election law. In some cases, Georgia's election law is far less restrictive than Colorado. It really depends on what piece of the election law you're looking at. But the two laws, it is absolutely fair to say the two laws are comparable. What's not comparable is the number of minorities in both states. Of course, Georgia, the Atlanta area, is heavily dominated by minority-owned businesses and so forth, whereas Denver has a lot of white people. And so who did the corrupt media who spread information about the Georgia election law actually end up hurting? Well, unfortunately, it is the very minorities that they claim to want to help and protect.
Yeah, and 50% of the businesses in Atlanta, as you just pointed out, are minority owned, and African American businesses, as it related to the All-Star game being there, they're going to lose millions of dollars just from that one event being taken out of the area. And it's what's odd is the media cheered it on. These companies showed their woke side. They got involved. Major League Baseball did its thing. Now the truth has come out, and no one's apologizing. No one's trying to reverse course. No one really knows what to do at this point.
They don't. And the individual who ultimately bears a great share of this responsibility is President Joe Biden. It was after the misinformation he spread, which the Washington Post had to fact check as wrong, that the MLB made this decision. He's done the same thing with the border crisis. He refuses to take responsibility for his rhetoric, for his actions. And again, the very people that his administration claimed to want to protect, you know, in the border, in the case of the border, it's these unaccompanied minors. And in the case of the Georgia election law, it's minority voters. Well, in both instances, those are the population groups that are being overwhelmingly harmed by the rhetoric and policies of the Biden administration. We should all be so fed up with it. This is a president who claimed he was going to take responsibility, who claimed he was going to be transparent. We are now watching videos of five-year-olds being thrown over 14-foot border walls, being abandoned in the middle of the desert with no other adults. It is unacceptable. It is far worse than, quote, kids in cages ever was, because, look, a lot of us might have opposed that policy. At least those kids were safe. The kids on the border are not safe. And what has happened with this Georgia election law is so much misinformation that's spread by the corrupt media, by woke corporations, and it is hurting Americans. It is hurting Georgians. And President Biden bears a lot of responsibility for both.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Now, it's interesting because the corporate America still hasn't learned its lesson yet. United getting a little woke in all of this. What are they doing?
Well, First United issued a statement coming out against Georgia's election law, which requires voter IDs. Of course, this is very ironic coming from an airline that requires voter IDs, not just to board their airplanes, but to go into any of their airport lounges. And then they followed that up a few days later with a statement that it wants 50% of its future pilots to be women or people of color. And right now, it is only a small fraction of pilots who are women or people of color. And this is quite frankly terrifying to most people who fly, to hear an airline apparently prioritizing identity politics over basic safety, safety and merit of those who are seeking to become pilots.
Right.
This is terrifying and unfortunately has an unintended consequence of, again, hurting the very populations it claims to want to help, because this is tokenism and it undermines the hard work that women and minority populations put into the training to become a pilot. Now they have to question, well, did I get hired because of how I look, or did I get hired because of all those years of hard work?
Well, and not only that, I just think for general safety, if we're making decisions in the area of pilots or surgeons or anything like that, where skill is really what skill and merit are the only things that should be judged on. If you're hired for any other reason than those, merit or skill, then you're being hired for the wrong reason, and you're jeopardizing the welfare of the public in the process. And I don't think that, look, I don't care the color of the skin of my pilot. If a black man can fly an airplane as good or better than any other white pilot that's out there, good, put him on my flight. What I want him to do is to take off and land safely, or she, and it doesn't matter to me anything else. Can you do what you're supposed to do? And that's what it should be based on. Anyway, if you don't read the bright email, you need to subscribe. Of course, Kelsey edits the Thursday one each week. Kelsey, always appreciate you. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Kevin McCullough, when we come back, we've got the New York Post's Michael Goodwin joining me to talk about the doom and gloom of New York City. Don't go away.
What can can help you take advantage of today's low mortgage rates and save money? Rocket can. You could save hundreds of dollars every month by refinancing with Rocket Mortgage at today's near historic low rates. If your current rate is over 4%, you could lower your payment by over $150 a month, saving thousands in interest every year. Call us today at 8338-ROCKET or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Savings are based on quick and loans, internal data. Points and fees may apply. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org. Number 3030.
People with cancer prefer Dr. Lederman's innovative cancer treatment. Many are so disappointed not to get the same care elsewhere. Dr. Lederman is first in Western Hemisphere with body radio surgery, non-invasive, highly successful outpatient cancer treatment where we attack cancer. No cutting, no bleeding. Dr. Lederman's first. When all others thought standard treatment was okay, Dr. Lederman doesn't settle for okay. Why should you? For newer recurrent cancers, most anywhere in the body, even if chemo, surgery, or radiation didn't work, isn't tolerated, or isn't wanted. The original, Dr. Lederman. Don't settle for excuses and imitation. Call Dr. Lederman, 212-CHOICES, 212-CHOICES, for appointment and free booklet DVD. 1384 Broadway at 38th, most insurance, Medicare, Medicaid accepted. Don't be disappointed elsewhere. Call Dr. Lederman, 212-CHOICES, 212-CHOICES.
Are you dealing with personal or business tax issues with the IRS? Does the thought of wage garnishments, bank levies, tax penalties, or having to engage with the IRS worry you? Owing taxes to the IRS or state can be stressful, and ignoring them can make your situation worse. At Federal Tax Law Group, we help individuals and businesses reduce debts and negotiate with the IRS Fresh Start program. Our assistance can save you from drowning in taxes and may even keep you free of prosecution. With over two decades of experience, our tax professionals understand your needs and will customize a tax solution that's in your best interest. Call Federal Tax Law Group at 800-500-9172 for a free consultation to discuss resolving your tax problem. That's 800-500-9172. Again, 800-500-9172. Or visit us online at federaltaxlawgroup.com.
There are books that I've wanted to write. Fault Lines was a book I felt like I had to write. Critical race theory, social justice, intersectionality. We've all heard these terms, but most of us have no idea what they mean. The Apostle Paul says that we destroy arguments and lofty opinions raised against the knowledge of God. Fault Lines is about doing just that in this current cultural moment. As Christians, we need to know what's going on around us. We have to be a part of culture. Fault Lines is about not only understanding what's going on in the culture around us and how it's impacting us, but it's also about teaching us to take every thought captive so that we can be more proactive in creating culture as God would intend us to. This is Vodi Bakum, and I want to encourage you to buy my new book, Fault Lines, available everywhere books are sold.
This is Greg Floyd, president of Teamsters Local 237. Join me for Reaching Out. We'll talk about the issues that matter the most to working families, union members, and everyone who cares about the future.
On the next Reaching Out, Greg speaks with Senator Chuck Schumer about a subject on everyone's mind, the coronavirus and what's being done about it. It's Reaching Out, Saturday afternoon at 4:30 on AM 570 and 102.3 FM, The Mission, WMCA.
You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio, coming to you live from the Connors and Sullivan Broadcast Studio. Obliterating confusion, amplifying truth, and pursuing clarity. It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
All right, just a couple of days ago in the New York Post, if you read Michael Goodwin's most recent piece, Quality of Life Plummets, Taxes Rocket, and New York City Faces Doom, you know that my next guest has a very, I would say, stark grasp of reality on what's going on in Gotham these days. Michael Goodwin from the New York Post, welcome back to Kevin McCullough Radio. You know, yesterday, the big number coming out of Albany, $212 billion, and they don't fix anything in the big number. And they've spent like drunken sailors for every little pet project imaginable in that budget. Michael, this is more of the same, and we're getting more of the same in the city and more of the same in the state. What's it going to take for New York to make a comeback?
Well, thank you, Kevin. I begin the article by the column by saying that no man's life, liberty, or property are safe while the legislature is in session.
Yeah.
That is a quote from the 19th century, a man who knew New York very well. And I would add to it, as long as Governor Cuomo is governor, we're not safe. Look, the problem has been building. And I think what we're talking about now is the response to the crisis. The crisis, of course, being the pandemic and the shutdowns. And so the response from Washington has been to send money to the states to bail out the states. That's a separate argument about whether it was wise to do it, because it just continues the status quo of the high tax, high spend blue states. Nonetheless, it's done. So the question then becomes, what do the states do with this windfall? And in New York's case, they say, well, that's great, we'll take it all, but it's not enough. We need more. So we're going to raise taxes. And we're going to give away money to illegal immigrants. We're going to give them $2 billion. We're going to raise taxes not just because we need it to plug the gaps, because Washington did that. We're going to do it out of spite. We don't like the rich people. Let's go get some more of their money. So there is about this a kind of silliness and obtuseness, because when you go after the rich, when anybody who ends up paying more taxes ends up spending less, there's less economic activity. That's the redistribution part of this. The government has the money now, and we know the government rarely spends it wisely. So meanwhile, you have crime and murder soaring, gunshots soaring, and you have the legislature and the governor releasing virtually everybody who's arrested, sometimes for the pandemic reasons, other times just because they think that nobody should be in prison. And you have the homeless catastrophe. So you have this combination of events at this moment, which makes it all quite frightening, because the city has weathered problems before, whether it was 9/11, the disaster of 9/11, the catastrophe, really, and the economic fallout from that. And you had the 70s when everything sort of went to hell at the same time. This is a different situation, and the government is making it worse. That's the real fear here.
Yeah, well, and you can talk about solutions, but you know, I was part of a conversation yesterday, and I said, well, as long as you have one party system, you're not really open much to solutions. And I would think that even the basis for how the Republicans could make a comeback is somewhat thwarted in New York State, because so many of those types of people that are free market oriented, they want to find alternative solutions for the problems that we have instead of just one big government solution for all of it. They've all left. They've relocated their businesses to Florida and to Texas and to South Carolina and to places like South Dakota, where they don't have to pay the enormous taxes anymore. And so, Michael, there's not going to be anybody left eventually.
You know, Kevin, a friend of mine who was fortunately extremely wealthy said that by moving to Florida, I mean, because he would be hit with all these taxes, and he's been hit with many others already, by moving to Florida, his after-tax income would be 33% higher than it is in New York.
Wow.
Now, he's in a special category, but what are the incentives?
But who wouldn't give themselves a 33% raise? I mean, come on.
Right. That's right. Why should he stay in New York? And this is somebody who's been quite philanthropic, who creates and creates jobs and hires people to do those jobs and pays them well. So what happens when people like him, and there are not more than 1,000 or 2,000 or 3,000 of them in that category, nonetheless, They give away a lot of money. They're big philanthropists. All the cultural institutions that benefit, if they all take their money and go to Florida, why would they give money to New York at the end of it? So yeah. It's just the ramifications from this thoughtlessness and from this thing that government should have more power, more money all the time. It's never enough. And so that's where you get these people feeling like, why do you hate me? Why do you want me to leave? I mean, that is a real phenomenon that's happening now. And tax hikes have a trickle-down effect, which is that the people who pay them spend less, and then therefore people below that category, you know, they don't shop as much, so stores don't get the business, people lose their jobs. I mean, it is just utter foolishness that the government in Albany and in City Hall continues as though just more of the same is the answer.
Well, and now, sadly, Washington, D.C. is being overcome with that thought as well. Read him in the Post. He's always got things to make you think. Michael Goodwin, always appreciate your time. Thank you for being here.
My pleasure. Thank you, Kevin.
Kevin McCullough coming right back.
Gregory Floyd, host of Reaching Out, gets answers to the tough questions from people in the know.
Joining us is Councilman Ben Kellis. What do you think about the labor movement post-Janus? What are you hearing?
I've spoken to public service labor unions all over the city and state, and they are telling me that they are stronger than ever. Members of labor know what's at stake, and they're not falling for any of the stuff that's coming out of Washington. They know that Janus was an attack on labor, and frankly, they know that no one's looking out for them other than their labor union. So I see folks getting more involved, and I think that if labor members get involved in their unions, I think that you can define who will be the next president of the United States of America, the next mayor of the city of New York, the next borough president in Manhattan, and the next council members, because everything's up for grabs in 2020 and 2021.
It's Reaching Out with Gregory Floyd, Saturday afternoons at 4:30 on AM 570 and 102.3 FM, The Mission, WMCA.
It's hard to know who to trust when selling your home. If you're retired and looking to sell your home, Calamine & Company Real Estate is the best agency for you. They only represent sellers, putting sellers' needs above everything else. Louis Calamine and his team take a client-focused, old-school approach to real estate. Whatever needs to be done to get the deal closed quickly and for top dollar, Calamine & Company Real Estate gets the job done. They also specialize in selling estate-owned properties and are regularly hired by executors, administrators, attorneys, and even the surrogates court. And perhaps most impressive about them is their 100% success rate. Calamine & Company is the best broker a seller can hire, especially when selling estate-owned properties. Offices in Brooklyn, Queens, Manhattan, and Staten Island. Call 718-998-1100. That's 718-998-1100. Or go to calamine.com. Clients come first at Calamine & Company Real Estate.
Download the AM 570 The Mission mobile app on iTunes, Google Play, or listen on WMCA.com, TuneIn, iHeart, Alexa, or Radio.com.
If you're one of those who often feel tired, fatigued, or stressed, you need Invite Health's Energy HX. This is Jerry Hickey, Chief Scientific Officer, Pharmacist, and Radio Host at Invite Health, here to tell you about Energy HX, formulated with Panax ginseng and ubiquinol, the clinically studied active CoQ10 to reduce feelings of stress and boost your energy. Buy one bottle of Energy HX at suggested retail and get the second bottle free. Order now and get free shipping. Here's the number and write it down, because you could speak with our nutritionist 7 days a week, 800-459-2272. The number for Invite, 800-459-2272. Visit invitehealth.com for product information, for our retail locations, or for free nutrition consultations with our degreed health professionals. You can listen to our radio shows and podcast at invitehealth.com. It's that time of year when stress and fatigue are overwhelming. Trust a brand with evidence-based ingredients from clinical studies offering the highest quality products. Invite Health. Call Invite at 800-459-2272 for Energy HX.
Hi, this is Kevin Cottrell. When you walk into Samson Funeral Service, you feel the comfort in the air. Samson Funeral Service is different than any other funeral home.
Hello, WMCA listeners. I'm Ernest A. Samson III. The loss of a loved one can leave you with lots of unanswered questions, feelings of stress and anxiety, and grief. We will guide you through the funeral process with compassion, dignity, and respect. You can call on us any day, anytime. We will take care of you every step of the way, from funeral arrangements to the service and to grief counseling referrals if needed. It is my commitment to reassure you in your time of need that we are more than a funeral home. We are hope and help for you.
Samson Funeral Service is located in Brooklyn at 2601 Pitkin Avenue. Call 718-277-8000 to make arrangements. That's 718-277-8000. Samson Funeral, where the legacy continues.
When you need a lawyer you can trust, call the law offices of Dan Buttafuoco and Associates. Call 1-800-NOW-HURT. That's 1-800-NOW-HURT.
If it's happening in New York or across the globe, learn why it matters first on Kevin McCullough Radio.
All right, Kevin McCullough, you know, sometimes on Thursdays we take a look at the part of life that is dealing with your health and wellness. It was only a couple of years ago that I first began to be aware that your body has a pH balance to it. And of all the things I had read about and known about in terms of health and trying to live a healthier life as I approached my late 40s and early 50s, was to discover that this actually matters. And it matters in areas that are important when you're talking about inflammation, when you're talking about the ability to fight viruses and diseases and so forth. So I'm honored to have my next guest, Dr. Ahmad Nuristani. He's an MD and CEO of a company called Balance 7. And he's been looking at this for quite some time. Dr. Nuristani, welcome to Kevin McCullough Radio. It's good to have you. What is the thing that is most important for us to understand about our bodies and pH? Why does it matter that we know that it has a pH balance?
Kevin, first of all, thank you for having me on your show. You know that every process in your body at cellular level and beyond gets affected by this pH or the acid base balance within your body. So, I mean, it literally controls your entire existence. So that's why it's so important to know, because it is associated with every known disease to mankind.
Well, and give me an example of what you're talking about.
All right. So I think before we go there, let me maybe talk a little bit about what is acid base, how we measure it, and why do we really care about it. And then we go about, you know, then we'll discuss about what can we do to fix that balance, okay?
So right.
Acid is basically, we just, like everything else in science, we take a measurement. And we use what's called a pH scale, or power of hydrogen. And, you know, we divide it from 0 to 14, anything, and 7 being neutral, like you're drinking water. Anything below that is acidic. Anything above that is basic. So that's a simple way of putting it. Now, your body is in continuous struggle to balance its own pH. Your blood pH is about 7.35 to 7.45. So it has a range. And within that range, it takes every ounce of your energy to make sure that your blood stays at that range and your body stays that range. But when you're starting eating from junk food and your favorite Cheetos and burritos and coffee and steak and things that are really yummy and tasty that I love, you know, it shifts that pH slowly toward acidic environment. And once your body gets to that level of acidity, now all disease process, for example, autoimmune disorder, inflammation like rheumatoid arthritis, and the hypertension, diabetes, a cardiovascular disease, kidney problem, bone issues, I mean, you name it, it all becomes part of that. Your body is slowly deteriorating from inside. So within 20, 30 years of continuing insults in that pH, eventually your body, you know, falls apart. And that's when you see disease process starting.
Okay. So are there ways that we can avoid this just by doing things, you know, a certain way through diet or exercise? Or what's necessary for us to keep the pH balance proper?
Yeah, I think, I mean, what goes into your body is the biggest one. What are we going to get, you know, exercise and diet properly, you know, focus more on eating fruit, more fruits and vegetables, and have a balanced diet and exercise. But more importantly, we live in a society and in the world where everything is fast paced, right? 90% of what we eat is refined, and it has tons of sugar and things that causes this acidity. So having supplements or becomes part of this routine of what we do, so hopefully the extra help that we get through this, some of the supplements, then definitely will help us. A lot of people already have disease processes that are taking medication for it, right? Whether you have diabetes, hypertension, high cholesterol, all these medications, guess what? A side effect of majority of them have, it pushes your body toward acidity. So some of them are man-made cause, some of it is your body trying to fight it. So yes, having a healthy diet, balance, and exercise will help you. But some of these, important supplements absolutely going to help you. And as you said, mentioned earlier, I am the CEO of the company called Balance 7. It is one of the most phenomenal supplements you're going to be facing. It is the strongest alkaline product out there. It's 1,500 times stronger than your drinking water and about 500 times stronger than any other supplement. And that's
Say drinking water, you mean alkaline-based drinking water, because most drinking water is acidic anyway.
Yeah, so the water, we go as water being neutral, right? But a lot of pollution and everything comes into contact, and they go, regular drinking water is pushed toward acidic range, right? So, they're trying to clean it up as much as possible. So the majority of the water falls between, 6.7 to 7.1 to 7.2, the fountain drinking water. And there's a lot of other bottles now that have, alkaline water. They call it alkaline water that you see. Unfortunately, majority of those are not made right. They are created through a process of called electrolyzation. So basically what it does is they run an electricity through the water. They separate the hydrogen from hydroxide, and they collect the alkaline portion of it. The problem with those are that as soon as you open the bottle, guess what? The hydrogen from atmosphere goes in and diluted, and then gets it back to where it's supposed to be, about 7. Technically, all those stuff that you're drinking is pretty much just regular water.
Yeah. So how does Balance 7 work differently?
So Balance 7 is, first of all, it's made from an inorganic material. Its pH never changed. Its pH is extremely high. You only take 1 ounce of this 3 times a day. So it's not gulping down a gallon of this a day, just 1 ounce. And it's so strong that it sends shock waves of alkalinity throughout your body. And through time will balance your pH, incrementally to get it more to an alkaline side.
Gotcha. Well, if people are wanting more info, where do they go?
They can go to the website called Balance 7. That's the word balance with number 7.com.
All right.
And they could get more information from that.
Balance, the word commonly spelled Balance 7, the number, not the word, Balance7.com for more info. And Dr. Ahmad Nuristani, thank you so much for your time and insights on this. It's been very informative. Thank you so much.
I appreciate it, Gavin. Thank you for having me.
Again, balance7.com for more info. That's Balance and the number 7, all one word, .com. Kevin McCullough coming right back with my final thought for the day. Don't go anywhere.
Yosefat Ministries invites all COVID patients to an online healing prayer service through Zoom every Monday and Thursday at 8 p.m. and 10 p.m. with Reverend Dr. Yosefat. This prayer service is free with no offerings. To join Yosefat Ministries in this Zoom prayer meeting for COVID patients only, use ID 364-469-5055. You can find Yosefat Ministries on Facebook at OHPS COVID. That's OHPS COVID on Facebook. Once again, Yosefat Ministries is inviting all COVID patients to an online healing prayer service through Zoom every Monday and Thursday at 8 p.m. and 10 p.m. with Reverend Dr. Yosefat. This prayer service is free with no offerings. To join Yosefat Ministries in this Zoom prayer meeting for COVID patients only, use ID 364-469-5055. You can find Yosefat Ministries on Facebook at OHPS COVID. That's OHPS COVID. Together, let's pray.
Listen to your favorite Christian programs anytime on the OnePlace app. Download and listen offline. Stream to your car or automated home device. Download OnePlace at Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
This year, nearly 22,000 American women will be diagnosed with ovarian cancer, and another 14,000 will die. Even worse, 10% of these deaths will be linked to a product that is found in nearly everyone's medicine cabinet. Hey ladies, this is Liz Black, and I need to tell you about a common household product that is killing innocent women. Talcum powder. For decades, studies show that talcum contains asbestos, a known cancer-causing agent. Yet, companies like Johnson & Johnson unconscionably sell this dangerous product. This May, after being conclusively linked to deadly ovarian cancer, mesothelioma, and fallopian cancer, talcum powder was finally pulled from shelves. If you or a loved one received a cancer diagnosis after using talcum powder at any point, call Butterfuco & Associates today at 1-800-NOW-HURT. Butterfuco & Associates is helping clients recover significant damages. If you think your cancer may have been caused by talcum powder, call today, 1-800-NOW-HURT. That's 1-800-NOW-HURT.
What you need to know when you need it. It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
All right, Kevin McCullough, glad to have you with us. Hey, there's a film opening this weekend, and I wanted to let you know about it. I've been watching it get prepared and launch for quite some time. It's called The Girl Who Believes in Miracles. And I've actually talked to some of the people that are in it. Kevin Sorbo's in this, Mira Sorvino, even Peter Coyote. You remember him from E.T.? And I think he was also in A Walk to Remember. But Kevin Sorbo, of course, is, you know, Kevin Sorbo. But it's got a big name cast. And it is all about this girl who believes in miracles, and her faith stimulates solutions in the world around her during the course of the story. I think it's going to be an interesting presentation, because I know that the world has a tough time believing in the supernatural, that God exists, that he's doing things, that he cares enough to interfere with nature today. But I am thrilled that it's coming out, and I think it's going to be very, very well received. In fact, I've said this a couple of times to the people that had shown it to me, the trailer. I don't normally tear up at the sight of trailers, but I got teary eyed just watching this one. We may play the audio for you of the trailer on Friday's show. But if you want more info, you can go to thegirlwhobelievesinmiracles.com. Thegirlwhobelievesinmiracles.com. Now listen to this. It's got a 94% fresh on Rotten Tomatoes, and it's this totally unapologetic story about this girl who believes in God. 94% fresh. If you haven't seen it, go check out the trailer, and then make your plans to go to the theaters and see it this weekend. It's not on streaming, and it's not available on video on demand. This is actually a project that's trying to get people back into the actual theaters. So go and enjoy it. And look, rejoice. You get to finally have some popcorn and see something on the big screen again. It's going to be a great thing. Might even feel like a little bit of a miracle that, you know, we're kind of back on track to having life back. We could all use some encouragement along those lines, no? Again, the website is thegirlwhobelievesinmiracles.com. Thegirlwhobelievesinmiracles, all one word. .com, thegirlwhobelievesinmiracles.com. Okay, tomorrow on this show, the man who has been toying with the idea has finally thrown his hat into the ring. We hope to speak with Congressman and maybe future Governor Lee Zeldin. Can a Republican win in New York State? Can someone who's conservative and believes in God and all these other things, can you have a veteran who's a patriot actually be a governor in New York State? Well, we shall find out. It would be Mr. Squeaky Clean, Lee Zeldin, against Dr. Dirty and Andrew Cuomo. That would be quite a matchup, would it not? All right, we'll consider that tomorrow. It's Kevin McCullough. Thank you for being here. We'll see you next time.